All right. Well, welcome to another episode of Flip Your Friday. I'm your host, Wynn Silverman. That's my co-host, Casey LeBlanc. And Casey, I don't know if you realize this, but we've kind of had a health kick lately, and this continues that theme of health. We have a fitness expert in Anna Wasog. Thank you very much for being here.
Me?
Yeah. We're really excited. We've been really kind of taking it upon ourselves to feel better, to get better, and try to share with our audience just how to be better both physically and mentally, because they're both very important aspects. But with that being said, I mean, let's just give me a little bit about your background. I know you're from Chicago, but maybe just give me a little bit about your background and then how you got interested in fitness in general, and we'll kind of take it from there, if that's right.
Sure. So thanks again for having me. And I started 10 years ago or 9 years ago training other people, but I personally started my fitness journey 10 years ago. I was just thinking about that before I got on the podcast. So I was like, how long have I been doing this? So 10 years.
That's significant.
Consistently training. And it all started after a breakup, actually. So I decided to just start working on myself.
Wow. Okay. So when you talk about training can mean a lot of different things for a lot of people. So tell me about strength training. Yes. Okay. So strength training, and what was your discipline? What were you, was it every day? Was it double days? Was it?
First it was like once a week.
Oh, okay.
Just getting started. I wasn't really sure about form or what the equipment was used for.
Okay. So you had not worked out at all?
No, not really. So okay. I was involved in different sports like fencing, soccer. I fenced for 5 years.
Wow.
And, okay. I have an athletic background, but I never stayed consistent.
Casey, did you know that Northwestern actually has a consistently top-level fencing team? I don't know if you knew that, but being from Chicago, Northwestern.
Oh, yes.
Don't they have a really good fencing team?
My dad was a landscaper, so we the only fencing I know is like when you're dividing a neighborhood.
It's very difficult. It's an Olympic sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have a question because I want to harken back to something that she said that you missed. Yeah,
harken. Oh, that's a Northwestern word.
Listen to this. This is very important, and I think that our audience needs to recognize this. You mentioned that you were almost inspired to get into this industry because of a breakup,
right?
An emotional event. And there's been a lot of literature out there that kind of connects exercise with being able to fight off depression. And I just have a question for you. Was it a significant breakup? And what exactly was the emotion that you were going through? And why did you see exercise as a way potentially to heal? Or am I way off?
So we're just going to pivot from exercise to the boyfriend and get right into the breakup.
I think this go hand in hand. I mean, I'm interested.
Totally. We're all interested.
Talk to me. I want to know about this.
Betrayed. So I felt like
you got betrayed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got betrayed in her. And so I was looking for ways to make myself better as a person. Instead of getting revenge or seeking, you know, something outside of myself.
How long did it take you for that process to happen from the time that you broke up till the time you just decided, you know what, I'm going to do something healthy?
That I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in any amount of time. So you then decided I'm going to take this upon myself physical. to start strength training. Right.
So you didn't strength train to want to beat him up. This was like, I'm going to get my mind off this by doing something physical.
Focus on myself.
Like refocusing that energy into something that's actually going to be.
I think that's really important.
When you first walk into a gym, and forgive me if this comes across as sexist, but were you intimidated by it's a lot of men in the gym, especially when it comes to strength training. How were you able to just say, you know what, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to do it myself. You had mentioned I was doing once a week. I didn't really understand what the equipment was used for. Mm. Were you self-taught at some level? And And so what did you do? How did you?
I had like two coaches in the beginning. I was prepping for a bodybuilding show, but in general, I was afraid of lifting near the dumbbell rack.
Okay, because
you're afraid
because of the mirrors.
No, just like the men. The men were always
not because of that. No, because I was an asshole.
I think you're a great looking gal. I don't know what she's talking about. It's really like fucked
that,
up,
you idiot. No, I was talking about form because you can see your form and you're just a little intimidated.
Specify. Okay. Come on.
Yeah, okay, that one was on me.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm just gonna let him go. So you're at the gym, and so then fast forward a little bit. Now to how it goes from once a week into what it is today. What are those? I mean, give us kind of the quick and easy as to how you get to someone now who now trains. You go from you know, the anxiety of being in strength training and not really understanding exactly what the machines are doing or how to do it to now teaching other people?
A lot of it helped me. So social media back in the day, there was a lot of different fitness influencers. Mm. And I drew my inspiration from Massey Arias. And she's been in the industry for a long time.
Okay.
She's like one of the top stars in fitness. But I learned a lot of movements from her and other fitness influencers at the time.
That's
this was before it
that's
became
great.
Like a big thing. So I was following different videos. I started to learn about structure as I got certified.
What type of certification is that?
NASM. So it's basically teaching you how to structure a program.
Okay.
I like that. In modern, since we're talking about parents and family and moms and dads, my mother was a modern ballerina, and in modern ballet, there's still there's techniques that you comply with. There's the Lamone technique, there's Cunningham technique, there's Martha Graham. All of them incorporate movement and release, right? So is that kind of how you were able to, like, do you have your own? So my mother kind of took that stuff and she choreographed and with her, what she loved in various schools of thought in that modern dance category. You're looking at training. Did you review all these different types of technique and have designed your own way of working out that tailors to that specific client that you have? Do you have a specific type of way of doing things?
I do. I actually am very intuitive with my clients. Hmm. I don't follow like a specific structure. Like I'm not very structured. I am structured, but I'm not. So I'm fluid.
Well, coaching is fluidity.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also too, looking at the client, what does the client specifically need? Exactly. Right. So,
like a lot of people are like, do you work with the same type of person? I don't, and I do. I don't know how to describe that, but some people have, let's say, an uneven hip or someone has an injured knee and they have to work around that and gain strength.
Do they always tell you or can you tell within the first? You can tell.
Yeah.
Through
just an assessment, like doing the squat, plank, for example, that'll tell me and reveal which muscles are
where they're lacking.
Like atrophy or different, like if you're off, like if your back is in, you're leaning one different direction or the next. Okay, so
it actually comes from habits, how they're sitting at the office or they're driving. I even find myself leaning over to the right when I'm driving.
Yeah.
So I have to like
Casey kind of leans to the left and down like that a little bit.
It's the gangster lean.
I know.
I learned that when I was like 5 years old back in the 80s.
You had to survive.
So when you first onboard a client, what are some of the questions that you're asking them? Because I'm curious as to what the mentality is when somebody comes in. I would assume most of your clients, the thing that probably joins them all together is that they want to get better. They want to improve something or they want to get have a different aesthetic or a mental feel to it. But when you're asking them questions as you onboard someone, walk me through what that looks like.
So most of the time people are very nervous. They don't know what to expect or they feel like I'm going to judge them.
Well, kind of like you, the first time you walked into the gym yourself, right?
Literally, yeah. So I treat them like that and I try to make them feel as comfortable in the environment as possible. So that's like my number one thing. Mm. And then from there, like I try to approach them in a way that they feel comfortable enough to tell me, hey, my knee hurts or these are the habits that I've been engaging in and this is why I need your help.
Are there any uncomfortable questions that you ask them where people get like you're just forced to ask it? Are there any like interesting questions that someone
like
should?
If
someone's listening right now, like if someone's listening right now, is
like what kind of questions?
What type of questions would you ask? Like, give me some examples of things that you're asking.
So I'm asking like, how many days a week are you training currently? Like, what are your activity levels looking like right now?
What's a typical answer? They
not
lie.
At all,
oh, they, are they pretty honest when they're
yeah. Or some are runners, but they're not strength training. And I think there's, in my opinion, you should balance out your strength, your cardio, flexibility, mobility, all of that.
So you're doing that. Are you doing that in each particular workout, or is your method we're going to focus today on strength?
Workout.
Okay, so you're going to take an hour, hour and a half on a workout, or
no, an hour. So in the beginning, we start with a warm up. It's typically 5 minutes just to get the body warm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and what are you doing? Give us some examples as we walk through a typical workout.
So it depends on how the client is feeling. If, like, for example, their knee is hurting, I'll assign a different type of cardio. But usually a treadmill inclined walk 5 minutes, and then that gets the body warmed up, followed by strength training or activating exercises.
And how long does that go?
45 minutes.
So you have, yeah.
The ending part is like just mobility, stretches, foam rolling, anything like that.
Okay. So you're in and out in an hour.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And I have some clients that see me for 30 minutes even. It's quick and effective.
What's your sense? I'm always glued to social media. I get targeted and sometimes I enjoy it. Sometimes I hate it. Right. But yeah. There seems to be this narrative out there today that tries to fixate more on lifting than cardio. School of thought about that. Mm-hmm. What's your take on the difference between lifting versus cardio and what's more important, or what's your sense of a perfect balance?
For weight loss, right?
For weight loss.
That's what people are saying.
Yeah.
I really do believe it's strength. You have to build the strength. Your body's weak if you're not, the muscle, when you're building muscle, muscle burns calories at rest. And you're also creating like a metabolism. You're boosting your metabolism
through strength training, not cardio. So why? I mean, I don't understand why it's counterintuitive to me. I feel like if you run, you're going to lose weight.
You are. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're telling us all we need to know by your body type, so we understand. We understand.
It wasn't funny.
So I agree. So walk me through someone who does the strength training, the hour workouts, and then you're also advising them on diet.
Strength training, you're sculpting your body.
And okay.
The diet is what really helps people lose weight. That's like to be in a deficit. If you're burning calories.
You're talking about calorie deficit?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're not, if you're overeating, but you're strength training, you're going to end up bulking and gaining.
How do you have people track? I eat all we eat throughout the day, and we're always
three meals a day.
Okay.
Like breakfast, lunch, dinner.
That's it. No snacking. Because there was also two like a part like
water. What about what like was also fasting and all this stuff though?
Fasting
like,
does work. I actually did some reading up
on that. How do you balance that? If you're saying three meals a day, does that mean that I can actually eat four meals a day and I'm fasting one, so now I'm down to three meals? Or do you believe in like a morning fast, or how are you incorporating?
I personally do fast in the mornings.
Is it every morning or just like...
Like three times out of the week. But one thing I've noticed is women with our hormonal changes during the month,
he actually has more similar hormonal changes to females than males, but that's a totally different subject. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Okay. So since our hormones are a little bit different, men actually end up benefiting more from fasting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's better for you guys. And
do you fast?
I do. I do. In the beginning, I did not believe in it because I felt like I was trained from as a kid, your breakfast was the most important meal of the day. Mm-hmm. And I ate a good breakfast. It was nutritious. But then I started trying it and I feel better. I feel cognitively even. I feel more clear. Mm. But I don't always do it. It's intermittent. I don't do it every day. But my idea of a breakfast is either a couple eggs or a nice health shake. I don't do any more than that. And I think coffee is really important.
Yeah, I do coffee. Yeah,
I do coffee.
That's the only way for me to get to the deficit is if I skip one of the meals and then I'm just using my window of 12 to 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And then I'm fasting the rest of the time.
Yeah.
So, are you fasting regularly?
Yeah, every day. One day in the weekend where I won't, if I'm hungry and I'll eat breakfast or, but that usually is 6 out of the 7 days.
Is it usually the morning for you only?
I have the window, right? So I'm not eating after 7 o'clock and usually I eat lunch somewhere around 12, 12:30.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that your body kind of accustoms to the schedule? At first it's hard.
Oh my gosh.
You need food, but then your body adjusts.
Have you done there's also like a lot of research in what the trend is now is doing a water fast. Have you done anything with fasting?
Water fast.
Water fast. Okay.
Having water.
You shrink because you literally have no water in you.
I honestly don't believe that's healthy for women. We need body fat.
Interesting.
A little bit of body fat.
Interesting. So there's the science behind it is if you, between 5 and 7 days, it kills, and again, don't quote me, but it's like 60% of the cancerous cells. So
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of science behind doing
that's
these water
fasts. That's doing fast. Like a real 7-day thing, right? Is
it just water?
Just water. So it's not really it's water fast, but it's actually you're only drinking water.
Okay, that's a water fast.
Well, yeah, but somebody can interpret that as you're fasting from water.
I still think your body needs some kind of vitamin. So having bone broth or something.
That's
a good
bone broth is really important.
Actually. Yeah,
it helps your gut too. It has collagen. You know, and that helps your skin. I mean, it doesn't help his skin, but it helps a lot.
Let's get back on track here. If someone's looking at this or listening to this and for the first time and they're they're maybe have already started, but in their journey as to exercise, diet, and then we haven't even really touched on the mental side of it and how all of that goes into a healthy lifestyle. What would be some, maybe the, like one or two, maybe three pillars as to the most important thing that you're going to want to make sure that they take away from this interview?
As far as training?
As far as all of it, like what are the pillars? Like when you say like you build a house from the foundation up, what are foundationally the things that you're like, hey, I want you to focus on?
Consistency is number one. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Okay.
People have a hard time with consistency and when, it's because they haven't made the decision in their mind.
That's a great, yeah, that's a great, that's a great point. So when you say consistency, like someone's going to say, what, how do you coach for consistency?
Habits. So creating a schedule for yourself. Like, let's say the only time you have available is in the morning. You have to get yourself disciplined, and that stems into consistency.
Yeah.
So.
And just like the fasting, your body's not used to it, but over time, like, you just get used to it. It just becomes your.
It's habit, virtue. Habit. It's a practice of good habits, right? If you're being virtuous, you're exercising.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so consistency is one. What are some other things, pillar-wise, that you would say foundationally are the keys?
For weight loss?
Well, for health. Yeah, for health. As you're coaching.
If someone's walking into you, they're obviously, they want to get better. They want to look better. They want to feel better. And you offer a blend of both fitness and nutrition, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone walks in and they say, look, I want to get better, you're saying the first thing is, well, you're going to have to be consistent, mm-hmm. right? And there's a mental component to that. What else is there when you're helping coach someone to, they want to get better. They want to look better. They want to feel better.
Like accountability, show up for themselves, get other people involved.
When you say accountability, are you talking about have a why, like have a reason why you're doing it and that'll help you stay consistent? Are you talking to clients about that?
Not really. No.
Okay.
I don't know if I really believe in the why.
Really?
Yeah. Because I don't really have one when it comes to fitness. I just go because it's a habit and it makes me feel good.
Okay.
I guess it's a
that's a why.
That's quite a why.
Look at us. We're uncovering some things here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go back to your breakup. No, I'm just kidding.
So what are ways in which you get your business clientele? We know kind of what you do, and we'll continue to jump back into that and maybe it more specific to questions that we have about workouts and so forth, but how do people find you? How do you find clients and what does that process look like?
So right now I'm finding them through Google.
And Google Ads or?
No Google Ads. It's all organic.
Oh.
Actually, okay. I had one of my clients help me with ranking it a little higher.
Oh, okay.
So if you type in personal trainer, Little Italy.
Your SEO is up there a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm working on that.
Okay.
Optimizing it. This year, that's one of my goals for this quarter, actually.
Oh, cool. Cool. And yeah. I saw you had a website is settleless.com.
Settleless.com.
Okay. And then a podcast and a website and social media. How do you, and I'm, are you a solopreneur or do you have a team with you?
Right now, solo.
Solo.
I'm
okay.
I'm going to hire soon.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
I need help.
So you're doing all the content creation on your own. You're doing.
I have friends who help me film, but as far as like editing, I love editing.
Oh, really?
Social media. I like all of that.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I enjoy it.
What about venue? Like, do you, you know, if you're a hairdresser, for example, there's two ways to do it. You either buy a whole salon, or if you're a solo practitioner or a solopreneur, you actually rent out a space or have some sort of agreement with the gym. What do you do? Where's your venue right now? Or where exactly do you practice?
So I come to my clients' homes.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, that's huge. Wow.
I travel to their homes.
So how do you do that? And like if somebody, they all have homes
oh. in their apartment complexes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
where I train them and I see them consistently.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. This is kind of veering off a little bit. So if you go to someone's home, it's first time, right? And let's just say they meet you on social media. Are you a little bit nervous? Like as a young, attractive female walking into someone's home?
I usually have a phone conversation with them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay.
Pre-qualify them.
And you're basically like, hey, walk me around, make sure that there's some, like, we're going to be in a safe place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've never had an instance where it was like
where it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And typically it's women who I see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I love about that way of doing business is you've kind of, you know, you initially shared with us when you first got into the gym, you had nerves, right? But if you're creating, not unlike a physician used to do house calls, if you're doing house calls, you're almost eliminating that huge first barrier to entry in your business.
Showing up. Yeah.
And I think you're which I think that's a way to solve a big problem that you shared with.
Exactly.
Well, also too, right, there's the accountability of paying, right? So if somebody's paying for something, they're way more likely. If someone's paying and someone's actually coming to you, the likelihood, I don't know the percentages.
Have you ever knocked on a door and they just want to open the door? Like, yeah.
They're just sitting there watching a movie. Yeah. Like, fuck off. Eating the popcorn. Not like
that. I have really disciplined clients that are like on it.
Have you ever fired a client?
Ooh. I'm in the process of doing that.
You are? Can we do that on
please
live?
Please do tell.
Can we do it live? Names included.
Yeah,
right,
everything.
Right now.
Address, phone
We're
number.
Not doing
no.
That.
No. Well, no, but what? Why? What? Because it's that's so you're because one of the things that you've said in terms of your pillars is accountability.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming huge. They're not being accountable or
being accountable. They're not showing up. Yeah.
Well, so they're not showing up.
I feel like they're not serious about their journey. They're maybe not ready.
How long have you been working with this said client?
A few months.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So is this gonna be an easy breakup?
When are you making the phone call? Yeah, when are you gonna make this phone call?
I don't know. I haven't been in touch.
So one of the things as I was taking
I don't think I want to share this publicly.
Yes, no, that's okay because you're not sharing who it is.
Yeah.
But I think it's the opposite. I think this shows that number one, if they're gonna hire you, you better take me seriously.
That's true.
And don't waste my time.
Exactly. So I think it's a very important thing to share, to be honest.
Well, actually, too, and it's a career highlight for you, and I'll tell you why. Because I remember at least for me.
Yeah.
But I remember if I look back on my career and I think about the X amount of years that I've had, I remember in the beginning I had to take every single client, and there were a lot of clients or business that I had to take, and you're just begrudgingly doing it because you have to. And there was a inflection point where I remember firing my first client and the liberation of going, you know what? I don't need everyone. I don't need every client. I don't need every dollar. I want to make sure I'm doing business the right way and that with the right people.
And that's a luxury.
Because it fulfills you. That make you feel good. Because part of it is you're giving something to those people.
Your energy, your time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Focus.
It's so congratulations.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a very big deal. Yeah.
In my category, in sports agency, you don't like every client. Sorry, some of the clients, but you don't like everybody. But if you can afford to say, hey, I don't like you, and I know, therefore, I don't want to work with you, it may not be a personal thing.
And that's what I was saying. It might not even be like.
Yeah, it's tolerated.
There's not a fit.
There's actually two of them, man, that I think.
Okay. Oh, so all right. Now we're uncovering some things.
I can speak about one of them.
Thank you.
He makes very very disturbing comments.
Okay.
So it just makes me feel uncomfortable, and I'm on the verge of just cutting
down. So that's interesting too, because how do you, as a solo practitioner, right? And what Casey's speaking to, you do have to, when you're first building your business, tolerate, but at the same time, there's this underlying sense of dignity and respect.
Well, actually, that's not true. So there is not, when you're early on, that you don't have to tolerate ever.
No, you don't.
You don't. And you shouldn't, right? And like some people do, and they can tolerate it depending upon the level. But
there's a level, right? That's what I'm
saying. There's always a level.
There's a line that you don't
actually
cross.
You don't ever have to take that.
But who defines that? Best practices? You do.
You're the person who defines that. Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
But even like with that mindset, you can also apply that into life too.
Yes.
You know, who absolutely. You get to put your focus into and give energy to.
Totally.
In every circle, in every facet.
Sometimes I know in my coaching experience, right, we're sitting at a group of CEOs, highly successful, right, all running very growing businesses. They're all changing the world. And these are CEOs that care. If you're in coaching, you care. And I remember why I'm still active in it, but I see these CEOs, they're in the middle. You can't see the forest through the trees. When you're in the thick of it, sometimes you're just like, you accept things that you normally wouldn't accept. So it's easy. Like if you were sitting here, like immediately when you said, well, they say certain things, it makes me feel a certain way. Well, then you're just like, well, fucking cut it, you know? But sometimes it's hard to actually go out and execute when you're doing it. You're like, you see so many other things within like the relationship. Yeah. Exactly. And you want to, as a coach,
like a finite little thing.
Yes. Yeah. But at a certain point you just have to cut.
Continue to set boundaries and that person keeps overstepping. I think that's where you draw the line.
That's where you should draw the line. A lot of times people don't. Yeah. Right. That's true. And they just drag it on and on.
What about, and this is, I think this is on point with what you guys are talking about, drawing lines. But as a coach, there's the old school thought of coaching, which is you tell them that they're terrible. You tell them that they're terrible and you're hoping that they succeed. And there's just more of a new school thought where you kind of embrace and you encourage and you motivate.
Carrot or the stick.
Yeah. How do you tailor your coaching technique in terms of encouragement or discouragement based on the mental fitness of a client? Like how do you go about doing that? Because sometimes people respond to positive coaching and sometimes people respond to negative coaching.
I have a combination of both, but I think for me, it's more motivating.
Okay.
I motivate them and speak good positive things to them.
You're into the positive. I remember coach.
They are late or like they do something that, for example, text me last night, hey, I can't make the session. I let them know like, hard boundaries, like don't be late, you know, kind of thing.
Set the tone.
I don't want to make this about us because it's certainly about you, but I do want to make sure we do as we're talking about accountability.
It's always about him, by the way. Just so you know, this whole podcast is about him.
Is it really?
I've been trying to get it about us.
No,
it's we're almost gonna, there.
We're gonna do. You and I can help with some accountability today. So let's use an example of if let's just say there was a 1 o'clock meeting today,
right,
and at 1:05, there was no text message and the person wasn't there. Then all the way up until 1:09, there's just crickets. Do you take the meeting, the 1 o'clock meeting, or do you tell the said person who seems to be right to your right? Or do you tell him?
I give him like a 10-minute grace.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I think 10 minutes is fair.
I don't give 10 seconds.
10 minutes is fair. Especially if let's say their building doesn't have a functioning elevator, for example. Right. It takes a really long time.
Yeah, well, if your
doors are closed.
This is
like, you don't know what exactly is.
Yeah, well, let me tell both of you then that there is a level of accountability to yourself to show up 15 minutes early to account for elevators.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or weather, or traffic, or every other excuse you've told yourself. So he was 10 minutes late for a meeting. I was
9 minutes. I was 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And you were on the phone for four.
Yeah, because I'm not going to just sit there and wait. Well, anyways, I am I'm like military. I am like military with being on time. You are never to be late.
Because you know what? It's grace is important. The concept of grace actually is very
important.
That's
a loser mentality.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Actually, showing up 10 minutes late is absolute.
I have been late before.
I bet you, you actually called or text to let the person know.
Of course.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like people, life happens. I allow grace if you also have the respect as to let the person know.
I think that's important.
Okay.
Yeah. Why did that not happen?
What?
Yeah, look at that face, says it all. Of course it didn't happen.
The elevator was really slow. And I was on the phone and I was a little bit late. The
elevator was slow. Dog ate my homework. Well, the weather, it rained. I can't drive.
Though, when you don't make excuses for yourself, you start to realize the excuses that other people are making.
Oh, no, that's true.
It's so true. It's true.
And well, it's been ingrained if you've ever played in a team sport environment, right, you're not going to be late to practice.
No.
You're not, but I was the one person that found ways to walk to practice sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Sad. Maybe you have found a new client. Yeah. And it has nothing to do.
I don't know.
He's fine with the weights. He just needs help with the accountability.
Yeah, I do.
You have a whole other line of business in coaching from how to create discipline,
unbelievable,
accountability, structure. Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's get on to, I mean, obviously you, because you're a soul practitioner, you're always looking for what's new, right? Or innovative techniques. What out there for you looks like it's trending? Or is there anything you see right now in the marketplace of, you know, of fitness that is trending to you, or that you're saying, this is interesting?
So I actually have, I do see some clients that don't have gyms from their apartment complex. I see them at Balanced Fitness and Health, which is they have like three locations, La Jolla, downtown San Diego and Little Italy, but they just opened a Little Italy location, and we have these like boards, and it's neuroreactive training. So your body's put under a different kind of stress. The platform like moves side to side.
Love that.
Back. You can do all sorts of different movements.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
In San Francisco,
super cool.
There's a doctor, Dr. Azzolino, that works with the 49ers, and he's a neurochiropractor. So, oh, wow. So he works with the neurology and balance, and there's all these different exercises with your eyes and brain that help your coordination, for example.
Do you find that with balance? I think that's so cool. And I think it's something that, as you mentioned, it's up and coming, it's new. What's it called again? Balance?
Oh, no. So the name of the gym that I see my clients sometimes is Balanced.
Oh, Balanced.
The board is called React Training.
Oh, okay. And that's you're implementing that into your training. Yes. So it's not a new gym. It's just
the gym is new. The location, physical location.
But the equipment, new. the concept is you're blending neuro with physical.
Yes.
Right? Very cool. Mind body.
Yeah. So it's like moving, for example, if you're planking on a regular flat surface, you only get so much, but if you're planking on this.
And all your muscles are stabilizing. Yeah, interesting. Exactly.
You're using muscles you don't normally use. Got it.
We also have a treadmill that does the same thing. It moves side to side.
So you're teaching your body to just...
I feel like I'd tear my ACL. I'd be the first client that has to get surgery immediately after. Sad.
Injured a client.
Just work out with him.
What's the youngest client you've ever worked with?
6 years old.
Wow.
Whoa.
She's amazing.
What's the oldest client you've ever worked with?
73.
Oh, so there's still hope for you, right around his age.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that.
So from that variance of age, what are similarities in the way that you worked out both of them, and what are complete stark differences?
The main difference I can think of is posture. Mm. With the elder demographic, their posture is a lot harder to correct because once the spine fuses, like the
They have bad habits, right? 73 years of bad habits. The 6 year old is so they're pliable. They're new. They're so new to the world. You could probably train them.
Get them young. Mm-hmm. A lot of even sports agencies, they start actually by having their own training schools, right? Yeah. And try to develop that.
Well, when we were growing up, strength training was kind of frowned upon until you're maybe 15, puberty. I think so too.
It would say.
But if you're just really light, right? You're lifting things, but just really light. Is that right? So it's strength training, but it's heavy strength training is where you still want to prolong that until later, or no, anything goes at any age.
I think while the kid is developing, more like explosive workouts are better.
Yeah, plyos. I mean, you still have your growth. Growth plates open, right? Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why my father wouldn't let me play Pop Warner, for example, and why the state of California is looking into banning tackle football until a certain age. It doesn't really necessarily probably politically driven, but there is some science to it. In that, if you break your leg in a growth plate, there's significant damage that can happen. But once those are closed, you can start developing your muscle strength more. Yeah. So plyos, I think, and plyos are. Maybe
static holds.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had to do like hangs, dead hangs.
So it's using your own strength and body weight until there's a certain age where you're more secure.
For the 6 year old.
Yes.
Okay. I was like, man, I'd love to see a 73 year old just bounce around on a box, do box jumps.
No.
Yeah. I did that yesterday.
So let me ask you a question, because this is just something I want to make sure I cover before we get out of here. When you're a coach or you're in sales, you have to show up every day. What do you do to show up? And more specifically, what are you doing to show up when you don't feel good? When you are tired, you don't sleep well, your energy is down, or something happens where just mentally you're just not in it. How do you overcome some of that? Or what are some of the, I don't want to say tips or tricks or anything like that, but how do you do that? I have a sales team, and we're constantly talking about, like, it's really easy to, when you're winning or when you're selling a lot or when you're doing well, it's so easy to show up. Yeah. What are we doing? And more specific, what are you doing when you don't feel good? Especially because there's a physical component to your job.
There is, yeah. So there are moments in time where, you know, I haven't felt my best. And I think this is a great time that you're asking me this question, because I just went through that a couple months ago.
Okay.
Just emotional stuff. And for me, it's more of a decision. And I think about the people that I have to show up for. Mm. If I don't, then they're not going to get their training. They're not going to feel good that I didn't show up.
Right.
So I make it beyond myself.
Wow. Kind of thing. So just, it's a mental thing that you have to tell yourself and then just almost like switch it on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I also like to watch motivational videos or anything like that will help my mind refocus. Hmm.
What are some videos that you watch or that anyone listening or watching
David Goggins.
Yeah.
He's great.
Have you read all of his books?
I've only read one.
Okay. The new one's good.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Can't Hurt Me.
Yeah, that one's good. He just came out with one, I think, 6 months ago. It's really good. I heard about it.
Have
yeah.
you read it?
Yeah.
Have you read it?
No, I don't know how to read.
You can listen now, actually.
Yeah,
you can, new technology.
Problem is I fall asleep.
So you listen to some David Goggins, which, yeah.
Yeah,
that'll get you going.
By the way, yes, I've read David Goggins.
Is there anything that someone can do as a client or somebody going to the gym when they don't feel good that maybe doesn't have the mental fortitude that you do or the way to see past, you know, it's not for someone else. They're just like, it's so easy to like say, you know what, I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do it next week. What advice would you give to get that person there or to get them
do it mentally,
just mentally there? It's that
hacking. I would say cold plunges, cold showers, exposure to sunlight.
So just get out
and water. Yeah.
Okay.
Being outside. Nature.
Interesting.
No, I'm saying what I guess my question is when they know they need to get to the gym or they know they need to exercise, would you say that too, to get them to go, or how would you say, cause your solution was I mentally can just turn it on because you have a client, they're paying you. But for somebody who's knows they need to go to the gym or you've told them, hey, I need you to be at the gym 4 times. And they're like, I just don't want to do this. I want to watch TV or I want to watch Love is Blind. Like what are you? I had to weave that in there. It's so good.
It is a good show.
It's so good. Sorry.
Brandon, can we take a poll later about men and women that watch this Love is Blind?
I'm really 75, curious about 75, 25 men to women. Men are all over this thing.
I feel like men are, yeah.
I hand in the air. I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I'm really guilty. Yeah. Okay, so no, I think this is a question I'm fascinated about is how do you advise or coach someone to do the thing that they know they need to do, but they don't want to do. And it's really easy because no one's holding them accountable. It's just themselves.
Well, it's kind of hard for me to tell the person watching, but with people that I have a close relationship with, they typically listen. They're like, okay, you're right. Like, I do need to go.
Well, what would you say if somebody has that self-doubt? Because they have to do it within, right? It's not something you could tell them. Is there anything that you would...
It would be self-worth working on that.
Self-worth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like you're not worthy of feeling good. You're not going to do
that. I think the one thing that I do is I just go. Because I think a 20-minute workout, just going, once I get to 20
showing
minutes, I'm
up.
Like, I'm already fucking here.
Showing
I already, honestly, like, you know the thing that drives me nuts about working out is getting ready to work out. Yeah. Like, just putting the clothes, finding the clothes, putting the clothes on, and driving there. I'm like, once I'm there, I'm like, I've already done 50% of the work. I'm like, I'm not going to just leave after 20 minutes. You just got to get your ass through the front door and turn on some Metallica. Black album.
Yeah.
It's impossible for me to.
I've never heard of Metallica.
Metallica.
Yeah. You've never heard of Metallica?
He's aging himself. It's okay. It's a
what
rock
are you talking
band.
About? They're an ageless heavy metal band.
So are you.
Ageless.
Sure.
So are if you listen to the Black album, Metallica, it is absolutely.
That album was produced, by the way, 20 years before you were born. just so we have a little context of what's going on here.
He is not wrong, but Metallica still sells out every single venue.
They're an amazing band.
Like I've heard of them, but I don't know.
Yeah, your dad would know. Your dad would know. And I'm sure if you guys want to go to a concert, he'll take you to a concert possibly even just to expose you to this cool band.
Pal. Yeah. I'm going to say, I will send you some classic. I guarantee you've heard of it. Yes.
The idea is motivation. I do have just keep on this not feeling well. I do want to have a nuance here though. There's one pet peeve that I have going to a gym is if someone is sick, clearly sick, and goes to the gym. So
just wear a mask.
Where do you, don't you start? But where do you set? Is there a sense of responsibility as anybody who goes to the gym? If you're sick, do you stay home or is this part of a no? I feel sick and therefore I'm going to go to the gym. Where's that balance?
Do you want my answer? Okay, you go first.
I would say go outside and take a hike, go to the beach, do something more.
But
relaxing.
Don't go to the gym.
Infect other people. Yeah, exactly.
Sir,
I would say for you to wear a mask. That's for you to be safe.
Yeah. Are you really promoting mask wearing?
Absolutely not. I just want to see you in a mask so I can judge. I really would too. I think it's an okay question. I think the only issue that I have with it all is that because of COVID and because of this hypersensitive world that we live in, we've stopped performing when we don't feel good. So this point of are you hurt? or are you injured?
Yeah.
Are you sick or you do not feel well? Because if you don't, I'm so passionate about this. I get so fired up when someone doesn't feel well.
Wait till you finally listen to Metallica. You'll understand who he is.
It's going to fire you up. You're going to be like, yeah.
A new jam.
But it's the sick versus not feeling well that drives me nuts. Like, if you don't feel well, you show up, you work out. Like, that is different than being sick. If you're genuinely sick,
stay home
and rest.
Actually heal. That's healing too.
Well, I think even being sick, you still got to move around. Don't listen to me.
He's a little.
I actually do continue to move and exercise.
I think that helps. Yeah,
unless I'm feeling like completely drained.
Yeah.
Well, feed a cold.
Like, you are literally on your death. Like, it has to be. I'm on my deathbed for me to like lay down and just completely like go.
COVID knocked me out like that.
Did it? So COVID knocked me out for 4 hours, and then I was like, I gotta move.
Knocked us out.
Yeah,
we caught COVID together.
Yeah, we did. Don't you?
There's a patient zero that we won't talk about, but it wasn't us.
All right, so we've got about 5 more minutes. We got time for a couple more questions.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, some fun. Let's do some fun stuff. So tell us a little bit about you, the person, not just the
Chicago,
the athletic, the diet.
Chicago, where?
Edison Park.
Is that west? North?
North.
Yeah. You've been out in San Diego for how long?
Going on 7 years.
Favorite part about San Diego?
Hiking, being able to hike, and like just being outside in nature.
I would imagine the weather.
Would you ever go back to Chicago? Never. And it's because of
the cold.
Right, but the summer in Chicago.
It's beautiful. I love the summer there.
But there's no way the winters aren't worth it, right?
Do you guys agree that San Diego is kind of boring? Like, if you want to do something fun, like...
That's interesting.
I think it's boring.
Okay, define fun.
Yeah.
What is your idea of fun?
For example, like, the club scene in Chicago is way funner.
Absolutely.
Way more fun than...
Well, it's a more... Well, that's... It's a standardized club. It's if you go to Chicago, Miami, Las Vegas, there's a standardized concept of what a club means. In San Diego, the difference is it's almost a destination town. So there's more of the focus is more, this is my opinion. And the reason why I have fun here, but I understand what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, my idea of fun is sunshine, barbecues, and pick up basketball.
Fun for me too. That's back in the day. That was like my,
right. But they don't have that social scene that is more specific to what you're talking about in Chi-Town, which is, like, I don't know many places other than a couple downtown that
but there's everything. I would say, and you can agree or disagree, but there's a lot different in San Diego than you would see in some of these more urban. Energy is different. The work ethic is different. San Diego is just a different vibe, more of a beach town vibe. So you'd probably get more, you'd probably have more fun in Pacific Beach or La Jolla at the beach than you would at a club.
What about weather though? I'm interested. Weather. I would get, playing at Northwestern in Chicago in February, the weather, it's so cold, you don't want to work out.
Yeah.
Or go out, right?
Go out.
You don't even want to go outside.
Would you say that weather can help or hinder your fitness in general?
I definitely do believe it does.
Yeah, of course.
It has to.
During the wintertime, people can cover up with layers.
They lose their shape. I mean, really everyone loses their shape, but you know.
But you notice, like, if you go travel back to Chicago, everyone's overweight. Not everyone, but most.
Well, they do. They let it go for a while because they can cover it.
Diet is different out there too, right?
It totally is. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is different.
But another thing is, like, waking up early here in San Diego, when you try to go get lunch at like 10 o'clock, everything's closed.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. That's the flip side. Maybe there's a solution for that. Maybe we start a fitness nutrition restaurant that opens early for lunch. We never know.
Well, thank you very much for coming. This has been a lot of fun. Yeah, we have spent the last couple of episodes diving into something that's been a little bit different. A lot of this podcast has been about mindset and overcoming adversity and some of the stories with people that have done amazing things on how they've rebounded after something traumatic has happened. Yeah. And the last couple of episodes has been about, you know, what you're ingesting in your body from a supplementation or peptides or things
health and wellness.
A lot about health and wellness and exercise and diet is one that we haven't covered before. So
thank you for giving us
it's been awesome.
It's been really fun. And I'm really sorry about that breakup, but congratulations on your win.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that'll wrap it up. Casey, thank you very much for being here. Thank you very much for being our guest. I want you to know that you can actually download us on every particular platform out there. That we're on YouTube, we're on Instagram, we're on every possible channel. So please like us, download us, do whatever you want to do. And that's another session of Flip Your Friday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks.